Well, friends, the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew chapter 28, beginning at verse 16. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. But when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." For the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Almighty God, as we sit under your holy word, may the meditations of our hearts and the words of my mouth be acceptable and pleasing to you, our God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, please have a seat. I was surprised to hear on the radio that I was just listening to, is it 97.7, the Classic FM? The presenter was talking about Trinity Sunday. Because a lot of classical music, there's a lot of classical music that's been set to the church year or to Christian celebrations. So it's kind of a good thing. At least the language is still there. Whether people understand the Trinity or not, that's another question. And I think sometimes when we hear the word Trinity, or I don't know if anyone has ever asked you, can you tell me what the Trinity is, or can you explain it to me? Maybe you've wondered, oh, where do I start? Or how do I explain that God is one, and yet Father, Son, and Spirit? Three in one and one in three. How do we... mathematically, it doesn't make sense, does it? One plus one plus one does not equal three. You can just imagine the little Christian child at school saying to his teacher, But sir, no, my mummy and daddy say that God is three and one. No, anyway, maybe those are things that my kids will do, who knows. I want to try and encourage you or equip you to know how you can, know God more, and also how you might share him and this wonderful truth about him being Trinity with people around you. Just a couple of questions, two questions for you. What can you do to get to know another person? What are some of the things you can do to get to know someone? Ask questions. Yeah. What else can you do?
Yes.
It's difficult to get to know someone when you don't talk, isn't it? You could go for a walk or find a common activity you enjoy doing. Time is another one. Or you might like to spend time with them drinking coffee. I always enjoy that. You invest in someone. You build the relationship. You play a part in that. This two-way thing. So what can you do to get to know God? What are some of the things we can do to get to know God? Pardon?
Pray.
Yeah, we talk to him. Yeah. Listen as well. Yeah. And ask questions. Yeah. Questions are always good. Yeah, they're very similar, aren't they? When it comes to God, though, he knows everything about us, which on the one hand is daunting but also comforting. He knows my weaknesses, my failures, and yet he still loves me. He knows everything about us, but we don't know everything about him. It's a very different relationship, and yet it's one that God says, no, I know you. I know every hair on your head, and I invite you, I want you to know me. A father and a child, really, sometimes. A child who is extremely dependent upon their father, and yet the father still loves and cares for and helps a child to grow and know him more and more. And so with God, we will never know everything about him. That's why I find it a great joy to meet older Christians who have spent a lifetime walking with God, and they still say, I've got so much more to learn about him. I've got so much more to grow in my walk with him. Their lives are walking testimonies to how great God is and how not great, how humble, how little they are, and yet how God has worked powerfully and greatly through their lives. It's both humbling and amazing, isn't it? I thought of, I might try and invent a new word. I don't think it'll pick off. Humblazing. No, it doesn't work, does it?
Not trending.
No. It might stick for this sermon, but that's it. But it is both, knowing God is humbling and amazing. Humbling that God should know us. Amazing that he should care for us. What are we that you are mindful of us? As we read in Psalm 8. And so as we get to know God, I think a person comes to realize that there's much more to God than first meets the eye. He is one God, and yet he has revealed himself in his word to be his Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the wonderful thing about our Anglican heritage is that the prayer book is full of Trinitarian language, even if we don't always realize we're speaking about the Trinity. We pray to the Father, through the Son, by the Holy Spirit. Even some of the prayers we'll say a bit later, or the creed, affirm God's unity. He is one, and yet his richness in, it's mind-blowing. But yet he is also Father, Son, and Spirit. It's how he actually comes to save us, by being Father, Son, and Spirit. Now our verses, the readings from Romans pick this up. Paul talks about how God is at work in a person, Father, Son, and Spirit. And our reading in Matthew 28 has Jesus speaking of the Father, Son, and Spirit briefly, but it's to that passage that we focus on today. The last five verses of Matthew are often known as the Great Commission, rightly so, because it is Jesus sending out his disciples, or sending them off into the world, just before he goes to ascend to his Father. And it is great because he says, don't just go to your neighbours, but to all nations. I mean, if somebody sort of did that nowadays, you'd kind of be wondering, really? You want these bunch of fishermen and tax collectors to take your message to the ends of the earth? Is that really what you're asking me to do? Yeah, that's exactly what Jesus does. And obviously it's worked because we're here. These fishermen, tax collectors, disciples who often fumbled and grumbled and failed, somehow God has been working through them, and we are a outcome of their obedience and faith, and God working through that. So Jesus obviously knew what he was doing, even if we look at what he does and think, what is he thinking? Who's his marketing advisor? I mean, Jesus hasn't got a clue. The people he picks are not the people we would pick when we think about it. And he even had Judas in amongst that until he betrayed him. There's a lot we could look at in that passage, but I really want to focus on how Jesus himself calls us to baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. It's all part of making disciples. When it says make, we can't make somebody into a Christian. So I can't suddenly sort of walk around the street with a super soaker or bucket of water and saying, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit. That's not going to work. There's not like a three-step program to turn somebody who is not a Christian into a Christian. That's not what Jesus means. He's saying, tell them the invitation that I've sent out, that all who come to me will find rest for their soul. Go and tell people about who I am, about why I've come, about why I've died on the cross and risen to new life. Invite them. Yet they may not take up that invitation. So making disciples is calling people to Jesus, encouraging them and teaching them everything that Jesus taught and the commands he gave his people to obey. And he speaks of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, which, if we stop and think it through, it's actually the good news. It's actually how God saves a person and brings them to himself. If God was not Father, Son, and Spirit, how would he save a person? There would be no Spirit to draw us to God in the first place and then work in us. There would be no Son, Jesus, we could relate to. No Son who understands what it's like to be a human being. We wouldn't have seen God because we wouldn't have seen Jesus. Jesus says, I and the Father are one. If you have seen me, you've seen the Father. We wouldn't be able to call God Father. We wouldn't be able to pray to him because Jesus wouldn't have taught us that prayer nor given us his example of what it looks like to be in perfect relationship with God. Without God being who he is, we wouldn't be here. and yet God has so graciously, so wonderfully, this is who he is. This is who he has always been and always will be. The Trinity is the good news of salvation, of how God is able to send his Son into the world, that all who believe in him might not perish but have eternal life, and then have his Spirit work in their lives to help them understand and love and be connected in to who God is. There's much more to God than first meets the eye, isn't there? And so the Trinity is not an equation to work out, or a problem to a mathematical problem to solve. It's a relationship. It's a relationship that shows us who God is and how he is so perfect himself in his unity. And this relationship is so wonderful that it's so loving as well, that it just overflows and he draws his own creation, his own children of Adam and children of Eve. He wants them to come to him. And so if anyone ever asks you, what's the Trinity all about? Or I can't make sense of the Trinity. You can say, look, it's not a... Oh, that's a really good question. You can affirm them in their questioning. Say, let me tell you a story. It's a story about how God saves. How God the Father sends his Son to die for a rebellious people and bring them back to himself. And he rises to new life to give them eternal life. And he gives them his Spirit so that they will never be alone and God will be with them till the end of the age. And there's so many ways you could actually tell the story, aren't there? There are probably some parables you could speak of that Jesus shares. The king who went away to another country and who sent his son back to look after his vineyard and manage things. And what do they do to the son? They kill him. And yet it was through the son that they would have life. And so the Trinity is the good news. It is how God saves. It is something that certainly the scriptures attest to about who God is and what he's like. If you have one of the beacons with you, you'll see there's a couple of diagrams this week. And just on the second page, the diagram towards the top. This is just one way you can start to begin to share with somebody the story of God. You can think of God the Father as God for us. He sends his Son. It was always part of the plan that he would send his Son to his people, to bring them back to him. He's for us, he's on our side, if you want to look at it that way. God the Son is God with us. And he shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. It's just that name is good news, isn't it? God isn't going to remain distant, aloof. Not that he ever is, but he's actually going to come in person, and he has done in the Lord Jesus. God with us. God alongside us. And the Spirit is God at work in us. So if you have a pen and paper handy when you're talking to a friend or neighbour, you could just draw this out quickly. Four words: God for with in us. And with that, you could explain to them the good news about how God saves a person and invites them to come to him. And see what happens. Like I said, it doesn't capture everything of God. No diagram could capture everything of God. God is so vast. And as I said, we'll never stop getting to know him. But it is the first of a good step to try and draw people and let them hear the story of who God is and what he has done. Now, I was wondering, actually, I did leave space today for questions. Do you have any questions or things you've been wondering about with regards to God being Father, Son, and Spirit, or being Trinity?
Any question?
Okay. Okay. Yes. Yes. So God does breathe life into every single person that he's made. Yeah. Yeah. If you do have any other, if a question does come up later or during the week, you're always welcome to contact me. It's what I'm here for, in part. It's good to keep on thinking through, well, how do I, when somebody has a question about God, where do I start? And sometimes it's good to ask, well, what do I believe? How would I explain what I read about God? How would I explain that in my words? I'll leave that with you. But let me just run through the diagram again in a kind of conversation. So I'll try and help you see how this could work. If a friend asked you, "Does God care for me? Does God care for me?" That's probably a question that you've had at some point. Often it's at a difficult time. Does God care for me? You can say, well, yes, he does. He is God for us. Let me tell you about God the Father and how much he loves you, and how he loves you so much that he sent his Son to you. You could begin to share with them the good news of God that way. Another question somebody might say to you, but how can God know what I'm going through? How can he understand my pain? How can he understand my sickness or my suffering or my loss if a loved one has just died? You can say, well, he can understand your suffering and pain because he came to be with you. God came as in Jesus. He experienced life. His own father died at some. His own father Joseph died at some point. He would have experienced that grief. He would have gotten bloody knees, I'm sure, as a young child. So if a child says to you, "I'm hurt," you say, "Oh, Jesus knows what that's like. He's lived life, he's experienced life. Let me tell you about it. Well, another question which somebody might have, how can I talk to God? How do I know he's even listening to what I've got to say? I'm not important. Why would he care for me? Well, he does care for you. His word tells us that. There might be some promises you could share at that point. And he does hear you because he has given us his spirit. And when we talk to him, we do so empowered by the Holy Spirit. Do you see how much good news there is about God? It just keeps on being better and better. I'll leave that with you. And again, if you do have questions, then please do come and ask. But let me pray and give thanks to God for who he is. Lord God, we thank you that you are who you are. We thank you that you've chosen to work so wonderfully in this world as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Lord, we praise you for how you indeed do save us and bring about our security and a peace with you that we can have. And Lord, we're humbled by just how great you are and amazed that you should choose to love us. And Lord, we ask that you might encourage us and spur us on to live and love you. And may we continue to draw people to yourself. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Lord, at times when we don't know what to say, help us to remember to talk to you and ask you for that Spirit to help us speak the right words. Lord, we bring our whole lives to you, and we ask that in everything that we think, say, and do, we might honour you and bring you glory. And we ask this for your name's sake. Amen. Amen.